Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Deepak Nitrite Limited, hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. At the outset, I would like to clarify that certain statements made or discussed on the conference call today may be forward-looking in the nature, and the disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation shared with you earlier and have now also been posted on the company's website. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit R. Cirumalla from IIFL Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rituja. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Deepak Nitrite's Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today Mr. Maulik Mehta, Executive Director and CEO, Mr. Sanjay Upadhyay, Director, Finance and Group CFO, and Mr. Somsekhar Nanda, CFO, DNL. To begin, Mr. Maulik Mehta will share views on the operating performance and the growth plans of the company, followed by Mr. Upadhyay, who will take us through the financial and segmental performance. I now invite Mr. Mehta to share his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and a warm welcome to you on Deepak Nitrite's Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call. I trust you've had the opportunity to go through our results documents that were shared with you all earlier. I will begin by briefly taking you through the key highlights for the second quarter and the major developments and strategic approach for the coming year. Mr. Upadhyay will then present to you the financial overview during the year, period in progress. Following that, we'll be open for question and answers. Before we begin, a quick update on the developments post the fire incident at Nandesari in Baroda on June 2, 2022. This incident led to the damage of certain property, plant and equipment inventory, and has interrupted business for which the company has completed all the necessary actions for restoration of the facilities and to restart the operations at full capacity. The company is adequately insured for reinstatement value of damaged assets and loss of profits due to business interruptions. The company has lodged a claim of this incident with the insurance company, and the survey is currently ongoing. We are heartened, of course, to keep in mind that there is no impact, no loss of life of any sort. The Nandesari plant of the company lost 100% of production for 1 month, and upon receiving directions from various authorities, operations have been resumed in a phased manner from the early July period, and full production capacity has been achieved in October. Hence, the results of the current period are not comparable to the previous period to that extent. Also, I would like to highlight that for the month of July, operations at the Nandesari facility were made using the far more expensive natural gas rather than coal, which is historically the fuel of choice. While we had a well-planned and functional firefighting system in place before the incident, which contributed to zero loss of life, we have further strengthened our protective systems with incremental upgrades, not just in Nandesari, but across all of our locations. In the second quarter, we worked through challenges posed by loss of production caused by the fire incident, as well as a very volatile global environment. DNL has exhibited certain agilities and initiatives and adhered to its delivery commitments despite the sustained inflationary challenges in inputs, as well as the higher operating costs and logistics. As global supply chains continue to get realigned, we have demonstrated to our customers that they really can depend on Deepak. As a result, our wallet share across all end user industries has either remained stable or increased in the quarter. On a consolidated basis, revenues were up 25% at 4,041 crores in H1. Despite the short-term concerns outlined, revenue growth was driven by strong volume growth in the phenolic segment. we have operated all of our plants with the exception of Nandesari at optimal utilization rates. As was conveyed, a phased restart of Nandesari during the period under question makes this quarter not equivalent to the previous quarter. The phenolics plant operated at a continuously high utilization throughout the entire quarter, despite the regular monsoon disruptions that take place on power, thanks to the newly commissioned power plant. In the phenolics business, we have witnessed declining pricing in the beginning of the quarter. As the global supply chains undergo realignment, one thing that we have noticed is that in Q2, Europe was more concerned with burning crude for energy rather than consuming phenol. So RM movement was not in line with finished product movement. Likewise, China saw a moderation in demand as the economy awaited the results of the CCP elections that take place once every 5 years. Overall, volume growth has been strong in the quarter, but costs of key raw materials and utilities have been challenging for the industry in general. Further, we witnessed cost pressures in utilities, and we also incurred costs for restarting the Nandesari facility in a phased manner without the benefit of the corresponding revenues. Of course, this will be addressed in time via insurance loss of profit. In Q2 FY23, on a consolidated basis, revenues came in at 1,974 crores, up by 17% year-on-year. I would also like to add that last year's base benefited from above-average realizations in key products, especially in the phenolic segment. During the first half, revenues in advanced intermediate segment surged by 32% to 1,434 crores. Alongside significant input price inflation, there was a wild fluctuation in exchange rates. The company met its delivery commitments and achieved a good top-line performance despite these difficulties. This was also aided by gains in key product categories as a result of increased demand. The company has been successful in passing on cost increases while maintaining and growing market share. Demand for key products in the advanced intermediate segment remains robust. Deepak Phenolics also delivered a strong top-line performance during the first half, with revenues increasing by 22% to 2,625 crores. EBITDA performance tapered due to declining realizations. However, this was partially offset by better manufacturing efficiencies and active RM and utilities management, supported by cost control initiatives. Despite external headwinds during this period, DPL continued to achieve high average plant utilization. Nonetheless, profitability has been impacted due to a reduction in price of phenol and an unprecedented rise and volatility in the rate of key raw materials like benzene. We are expecting the margins to be better in upcoming quarters as these situations return to normal and the relationship between the raw material and the finished product is re-maintained, where both of these are used for the same purpose. In key developments, all projects are progressing well and are being commissioned in phases. The first one was commissioned in the month of October. The entire volume for the next 5 years is tied up. All other projects that we have also clarified to the investor community are on track and will be commissioned in phases over the next 12 to 15 months. In the current month of November, another project is expected to be commissioned. This one is margin accretive and environment related. We have further also commissioned an as of yet unannounced medium volume, medium value product targeted to the EU market, which replaces a recently banned chemical. Deepak is only the second manufacturer of this product worldwide, and we expect to see robust growth over a period of time. Right now, we are bullish based on feedback received from seed marketing activities. Our teams have successfully overcome significant challenges to achieve results while maintaining a level of agility and responsiveness with our customer base. We continue to progress toward our goal of becoming a diversified chemical company while maintaining our strong leadership position in key existing products and processes, even as we innovate to generate new value. In order to deliver scalability and volumes, we also aim to develop stronger and longer-lasting relationships with strategic customers. As we do so, we will continue to prioritize process improvement and operational excellence. We have announced an investment into chemical manufacturing for products that use energy both as a raw material as well as utilities in the Sultanate of Oman. Since the cost of fuel-based inputs are generally lower and cleaner in the Middle East, we believe that this project will have a good future given a sustained growth in demand for the relevant products both in Asia as well as globally. Deepak proposes to invest 51% in equity in this business, which will manufacture products where we already have a very deep customer connect and market insight. To conclude, we are confident that DNL, with its innovative product mix and pipeline of new projects coming in and decades of manufacturing experience, is an excellent candidate to lead the Indian chemical manufacturing trend. Our continued focus is on preserving a level of agility which allows us to capture opportunities presented by sudden shifts in the industry landscape. With contributions from upcoming brownfield and greenfield expansions, with value-added forward and backward integration, we will strengthen our competitiveness and position ourselves to expand our market share to not only be globally competitive, but be leaders in our respective fields. Thank you. I would now like to hand over the call to our Group CFO, Mr. Sanjay Upadhyay, to address this forum and take you through the financial performance.
Thank you, Maulik.
Origin Chita, we are unable to hear the management.
Yeah, thank you, Maulik. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Deepak Nitrite Earnings Call. I'll walk you through the highlights of the financial results for the quarter and half year ended September 30th, 2022. During the quarter under review, Deepak Nitrite has delivered a steady performance amid challenging operating environment that it lost sizable number of days of production while Nandesari facility came into operation in phases. On the top of the prices of key materials and the inputs of utilities remain high. Another steep challenge has been extremely challenging interest rate and forex market scenario. Amidst all such challenges, it is heartening that company posted robust top line across business, increased wallet share and market share, especially Phenolics, which has been constantly increasing its market share in the country. Our business capital expenditure is something we are working diligently to strengthen. We made a strategic decision to use cash flows to reduce debt and reduce business risk. As a result, our operations continue to be exceptionally capital efficient with enhanced ROCE. Despite the significant increase in the working capital caused by the higher input cost, we achieved 48% ROCE in Q2 FY23 and more than 30% in previous 12 reporting quarters. Now on the financials, on the operating front, our domestic business revenue stood at 408 crores and 827 in Q2 and H1, higher by 28% and 32% year-on-year respectively. Export revenues were 277 crores in Q2 and 589 crores in H1. On a consolidated level, domestic to export mix stood at 83-17. In H1 FY23, on a consolidated basis, revenues were 25% at 4,041 crores compared to 3,224 crores in H1 FY22, driven by incremental gains in both advanced intermediates as well as phenolic segments. EBITDA stood at 648 crores in H1 FY23 compared to 855 crores in H1 FY22. Margins came at 16% in H1 FY23. PBT and PAT came in at 550 and 409 crores respectively. In Q2 FY23, on a consolidated basis, revenue grew by 17% at 1,974 crores as compared to 1,690 crores in Q2 FY22. On a year-on-year basis, EBITDA came in at 283 crores from 395 crores in Q2 FY22. Margins moderated at 14%. Higher raw material costs and other utilities, along with lower recovery for a few products. PBT stood at 235 crores and 175 crores respectively. Profitability was aligned with the operational performance of the company, which was impacted due to a review triggered by the inflationary pressures in RM and other utilities. In the ensuing quarters, the circumstances are anticipated to improve. Moving to the segmental performance, as mentioned earlier, our strategic business units have been merged in accordance with Ind AS 108. Due to this merger, the group's operations are now reported in two segments, Advanced Intermediates and Phenolics. In the Advanced Intermediates segment, revenue has increased by 26% to 685 crores in Q2 FY23 versus 544 crores in Q2 FY22. While EBITDA marginally grew by 1%, 149 crores during the quarter under review. In H1 FY23, revenue grew by 32% to 1,415 crores and EBITDA came in at 298 crores, translating into margin of 21% despite the current environment and challenging circumstances. Deepak Phenolics delivered an encouraging performance with revenue growth of 13% to 1,284 crores in Q2 versus 1,139 crores in Q2 FY22, while EBITDA stood at 134 crores and EBITDA margin came in at 10% in the quarter. In H1 FY23, revenue grew by 22% to 2,619 crores and EBITDA came in at 352 crores, translating into margin of 13%. EBITDA has been considerably diminished as a result of high inventory carrying cost and drop in sales price, and however, things were returned to normal in the ensuing quarter. Lastly, on the balance sheet front, company's financial position has significantly enhanced and the company continues to maintain zero debt position with a net worth of 3,651 crores consolidated basis and 2,415 standalone, thereby strengthening its balance sheet for future expansion. With that, I would like to request moderator to open the forum for question answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. So I have two questions. Sir, based on Maulik Bhai's opening remarks, so I was just trying to understand the standalone business much in detail. So when we look from 2011 to 2018, we almost double our sales. So from 700 crores to 1500 crores. So it took us almost 7 years to double. Then from 2018 to let's say the first half of this financial year, if we take on an annualized basis, we again doubled our turnover. So let's say from 1500 crores to 3000 crores. And these sales have been steadily going up even if we account for those one-time increases in the DASDA prices. So all those have been accounted for and still we have doubled our turnover from FY18 to FY23. So I have two questions here. So one is based on the greenfield and the brownfield expansions what we have announced, what could be the reasonable number of years where again we could see our sales doubling from 3,000 crores to 6,000 crores and how much money we have to put in order to achieve this sort of increased turnover? So this is one. And second is based on the opening remarks what Mr. Maulik Bhai mentioned, we have been undertaking some of the backward integration projects, adding some intermediates also for our finished products, adding some customized products where we got some 5-year long-term contracts with the customers outside India. So how much margin reset could happen from the current levels considering the current global macro situations? Because if we see from FY11 to FY23 or first half of FY23, our EBITDA margins have been from 8% to 20% before correcting from 32% to 33%. So it has come down from 32% to 20%, and likely so of the reasons what you mentioned, like some of the raw material prices have gone up or the freight costs have gone up. So if you can answer these questions, that would be helpful.
Okay, a lot of stuff to unpack there. Yeah. But first of all, I would just add that perhaps the same trajectory of revenue growth may not be there, and that would only be because a lot of the new investments will not be coming into Deepak Nitrite the standalone, but into a new subsidiary called Deepak Chemtech. And there are different reasons for that, but the company continues to invest in high quality growth as a group. You will see that. Secondly, while you have seen a moderation with regards to the margins on a percentage basis, I would like to highlight that in Deepak Nitrite, the standalone entity, we have not seen any general trend of a reduction in gross margins. Okay. Now, unfortunately, in Q2, there was a lower percentage as well, and that was because of significant cost increase when in the month of July we used natural gas, for example, as a raw material, as a utility. And along with that, we had a substantially lower volume that we were able to produce and sell into the market. A lot of people, you know, because they look at Deepak Phenolics and a large capacity that manufactures phenol and acetone, underestimate the size of the throughput of various different chemicals from the Nandesari site. So in Q2, we have seen a volume drop of about 15% compared to previous quarters. And this was because we were restarting our plant and throughput in a phased and a safe manner. So in Q3 onwards, from October onwards, where all the plants are up and running in full swing, you will see again a volume pickup. So between the cost increases unforeseen due to the fire incident and the volume drop, we are seeing a severely contracted Q2. We do believe that the volatility both in RM and in FG will continue to be a factor for the ensuing quarters. But we remain bullish about our ability to have our customers understand this and maintain a growing wallet share. So even though in Q3 there is a softening of demand in certain key industries, there are customers worldwide and especially in Southeast Asia which continue to buy a lot of Deepak's products, so mitigating pockets of moderating demand. We remain bullish about all of our products.
Got it. So sir, this is about Q3 and probably the second half of FY23. But let's say if we take a slightly longer view of 4-5 years, where my apologies that I didn't include our newer subsidiary where we are also investing a lot of money apart from the phenolics. So let's consider that subsidiary also as a part of the related capex for the advanced intermediate business. How do we see this business shaping up over next 3-4 years? Because we are doing a lot of backward integration stuff. We are doing some customized products also. So possibly from current levels, there could be some margin reset also could happen over next 3-4 years. So could you share your thought process over next 3-4 years, how our business would look like, how our normalized EBITDAs would look like based on your current assessment of the situation?
I would say that over the next 3 to 4 years, we should target to double our top line. And perhaps the growth in our bottom line may be a little bit faster because there's also a lot of backward integration that is taking place.
Correct.
So between the both of these, I think the next 3 to 4 years, there's a strategic balance between the both.
Got it.
But the company remains in a good leading position in all of its products. So it will continue to benefit from the downstream integration and brownfield expansions.
Got it. And so my second,
in the order of this thing, the margin improvement will be the first thing because as you rightly mentioned about backward integration, so that will improve EBITDA certainly.
Percentages.
And top line of course will grow when we are setting up new facilities, and in the existing business also we are See, all the products and all the businesses, we are doing some debottlenecking, as Maulik mentioned in his speech. There is some seed marketing done for sample sent, which is a very good potential we have. And we have commissioned one more project this month, in fact. So things are moving and things are happening. See, one thing is that we are doing whatever right to do for the business fundamentally. Outside world, I mean, things are very volatile, we all know. Right. In Europe and China, and that certainly is, like, for example, the textile business is certainly impacted, you know. And so textile is impacted, dyes is impacted, and parallelly then one of our stream of business. Fortunately, Deepak Nitrite is in a business where we have end applications in several industries. So fortunately, we are able to sell our product, we are able to capture our market. But in some pockets, there will be negative, some pockets will be positive. So this is how a resilient model is created. And we will continue to do that.
Got it, sir. And so my second question is on qualitative side. So how much are R&D team currently comprising of? And because now we are also setting up a new R&D center at Savli. So how the team would look like once this new R&D center would be up and running?
Currently, we are having around 103 staff strength total. Out of that, PhDs will be in the range of 20-25 PhDs, you know. So it's a significant number.
Absolutely.
And they are working on a new site. Of course, it is going to take time, but they are like whatever products and these we are, Maulik was just mentioning, these all coming out of our R&D only. Yeah.
Correct.
So they are constantly on it. Finance, now so we do not have segment, but otherwise on those part, finance specialty and forward integrations further.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Neeraj.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Isha from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to know, for this particular quarter, what was the volume growth and what was the growth because of the price hike that were taken?
In Deepak Nitrite, unfortunately, there was no real volume growth on an average simply because of the fire incident. In Deepak Phenolics, what was the volume growth?
About 10%.
I think it would be close to about 10% in the phenolics segment. So if it was a normalized quarter, then in Deepak Nitrite standalone, we would also have seen a volume growth of about 10%. So in quarter three, you should see this coming in. Actually, a good representative quarter would be quarter four, the Jan to March quarter of 2022, as an indicative volume. Because that's when we had, the plant up and running, including the debottleneck capacities.
Okay, and so from past 2-3 quarters, we were talking about the price hikes taken. So, has all the price hikes been realized, or still the headroom is left?
The price hikes, as and when they come, they are always on a rolling quarterly basis. So if the raw material prices hike, then, with a quarter's lag, in some cases less, in some cases about a quarter, we are able to pass the prices on in order for us to maintain a healthy margin. Now, of course, this is not going to factor in when you look at it on a percentage basis, because I cannot tell the customer that my cost has increased by 100 rupees, but please pay me 15 rupees additionally so I can maintain my percentage. Nonetheless, if the situation moderates in terms of the raw material prices, if they reduce, then of course we pass that benefit over to our customers with a lag. And when the prices increase, the customers support us with that price increase.
And so just another thing I wanted to understand, what led us to use more of natural gas apart from the other, like the major crude related derivatives that we usually use for our raw materials?
See, every good plant in the country is by law needing to have what is called a standby boiler. Essentially, it is one which can be used as and when the primary generator of steam is under maintenance for whatever reason. So you take permission and you run it at that point. Now, while we were going through the plant restoration, we also identified areas of improvement in the boiler, which were affected because of the significant pressure that arose from the fire incident. And therefore, we addressed the safety aspect and the repairs of the boiler also. And in that period of time, the natural gas boiler that is always available as a standby, was utilized. So this is not something which is a normal case, but in order to maintain our delivery commitments and to start operating our plant in a safe manner, for that period of time, it was the natural gas boiler that was used rather than the generally used coal boiler.
But this is covered under our LOP. So as and when LOP claim is settled, we will get back this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan from Prosperity Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So my question is a follow-up question on the previous gentleman. So you guided for doubling the top end growth and within 3 to 4 years. Is this on a standalone basis or is this on a consolidated basis?
This was on standalone basis. Consolidated cannot happen because the in phenol new capacity on that itself takes 3 to 4 years to set up. So
okay, so and another question is on the phenol segment. So what is the price change in phenol acetone in the last quarter and the last 40 days and the same period benzene and propylene price corrections?
I don't want to give you prices, but the benzene prices have gone up. In fact, if you are tracking the raw material prices, you must have seen benzene prices have gone up significantly in the quarter. In fact, phenol this quarter was little subdued because of demand also, though we are able to maintain our volumes. You know, in fact, we have expanded, but then overall demand was down because of global situation, because of erratic monsoon also, and ply industry not doing well, which they continue not to do well even today. So there was an impact of this. On top of it, the benzene and propylene prices were higher. There was a shutdown from BPCL, which also led us to buy some cumin from the market. I mean, all in all, there were several issues for the quarter, and in fact, there is a shutdown in October also of BPCL, which is continuing. So there will be some impact. So phenol business, what you are seeing is lower demand, but we are selling our volumes. On top of it, this kind of, I would say, disruptions in the market.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And
I'll just add one point here that there are significant global disruptions. India, however, the disruptions are of a much smaller scale, right? There is, India has a very different, kind of consumption of phenol compared to what you have in Europe, in the US, in Asia. And therefore, whatever disruption you are seeing, especially places like China and places like Europe, where there is destruction rather than disruption. In India, it is a disruption. It is transient in nature. And it remains, a target market where Deepak will continue to grow its wallet share. And even if in the short term there is a slowdown, it is a slowdown to a very brisk CAGR. India's demand of phenol is quite linked to GDP growth also because it has infrastructure spending associated with it, pharma associated with it, agrochemicals associated with it. So when we speak about slowdown in India, we have to keep in perspective that it is slowdown in a very high CAGR, which is still high and will improve as the global situation also improves.
Okay, so, and my question is on the CAPEX front. So recently in October, there has been a commissioning and November you are expected to commission on plant actually. So can you just provide details on it, like in terms of capacity and products and margins which we can expect from these commissions?
So there are three products which have been, there are three initiatives which have been commissioned in the last month and this month.
Okay.
One of them is for an agrochemical, which I mentioned has already got all of its volumes booked under formula contractual agreements for the next 5 to 7 years. This is a product where Deepak has a leadership position, will continue to have a leadership position. It is a challenging chemistry, and it is, I think, maybe the second largest player, or maybe the second or the third largest player in the world. The second one, which is being commissioned, as I have mentioned in my opening remarks, is a margin accretive and environment related project. And the third one, which got commissioned, is a product which is targeted globally, but right now we are prioritizing Europe, simply because in Europe it replaces another chemical which has been banned by the agencies for its carcinogenic properties. So our product replaces that, has a very interesting CAGR which is developing simply because the previous one is banned. And this was something that we had not announced earlier, and we have seen very encouraging feedback from all of the target consumers. So it is something where I would not like to give guidance, it's very early, but all I can tell you is that at the moment the feedback has been extremely positive, and Deepak has developed the product internally. It is also it's only the second company worldwide that manufactures this. At what scale, what we will do over a period of time will come out as we see the product and its use case improving.
Okay, sir. And seeing the benzene and phenols demand, can you just tell me that if the coming quarters will have pressures on phenol segment, margin pressures?
So let's put it this way, that normally phenol, benzene, all of these, whether they go up or they go down more or less together with some gap. In the last quarter, because Europe was actually burning oil rather than cracking it into petrochemicals like benzene and toluene, it was using it for its calorific value. This was also not a time where it was going to use phenol for its solvent application. So there was a drop in the demand for phenol and an escalation in the price of benzene. This is completely out of lockstep, which it normally is. Now what has happened is, owing again to more macroeconomic trends, the prices of benzene have corrected significantly. In fact, between the highs and the lows of the same quarter, quarter two, there has been a gap of about 50% to 60% between the high and the low in the same quarter for benzene. Now, phenol has not seen that much of a rise and a fall, and therefore we expect in Q3 to be able to benefit from a price correction in benzene, which is more than any price correction that we may see in phenol.
Okay.
So the margins we expect to have at least some level of an improvement compared to Q2, simply because the macroeconomic trends are moderating in terms of their intensity.
Okay, sir. So another thing is, you have said like 50% increase has there been in the benzene prices. So at the end of the quarter and the end of mid of quarter three, is it still at this high or has it corrected?
No, I'm saying within the quarter there has been such a volatility.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much.
But the prices for benzene are sliding as we see right now. Again, this is one of those things where it's difficult to predict what will happen 1 month from now, which new superpower is going to decide what. But at the moment, at least the general trend has been that the prices of a lot of these petrochemicals have seen some level of correction since mid-September onwards. This will get affected regionally based on certain startups or shutdowns, as that may be.
Okay, so if I can squeeze in another question.
Yes,
sure.
Yes. Regarding the 1,500 crore CAPEX funds, so you have mentioned like MIBC and MI BK or the two of the products which you will be coming in. So apart from this, is there any other updates on what are all the products which will be coming in and in terms of capacity? You have given guidance for 40,000 metric ton in MIBC and 8,000 in MHCV.
So we have deliberately not announced names of products other than these, simply because the other investments that are there, other than the upstream integration, the ones which have downstream integration are actually multi-product platforms. Fluorination, for example, chlorination and photochlorination are multi-product. But these are assets that we are investing in, and they are up-engineered assets. So while they can do one thing, they can also do a lot more things because the assets allow us to use significantly more pressure, significantly higher temperature. In some cases, instead of using a liquid, we can use a gas, vice versa. So it gives us a level of flexibility which is not common to what we have done in the past, where we put up plants with single product in mind. And therefore, it may have a range of different products that we will run in campaigns. I would not truly call them multi-purpose plants, but they are certainly in that line. And the investments would be, as I mentioned, into fluorination, into photochlorination. We will also, of course, be adding significant investments into expanding our nitration capacity, hydrogenation capacity, and some other unit processes that we will announce over a period of time. But they have already been, I mean, they have already passed the R&D phase. I have mentioned earlier that some of these investments will be, which we have not announced the value yet, will be using gas-liquid reactions, which will be, in that sense, downstreams of what we already manufacture, and targeting the pharma segment in as an anchor application.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much. So two questions from my end. Would it be possible to quantify the impact of using the natural gas instead of coal for that 1 month?
It would. I mean, we've already done it. It's part of the work that is required when we file it, you know, for the insurance claim. Give me a couple of minutes and I will give you a specific number. But if you have a follow-up question to that, you can ask it while this number comes up.
Sure, sir. Thank you. The related question was, barring the usage of natural gas and obviously the 15% reduction in volume you saw because of the fire and the phased ramp-up, would it be say that these two were the only externalities which were affecting the quarter, or did you see any other market-related conditions which may have also played a part in the performance for that segment?
Okay, so when you are talking about the segment, you are specifically talking about Advanced Intermediates and Deepak Nitrite standalone, correct?
That is correct.
So there has been a moderation, as Mr. Upadhyay also mentioned, in the application of, you know, the textile industry in India. However, we have taken this opportunity, you know, based on geopolitical situations, to target customers in Asia and in the U.S. who would otherwise have bought competing products from Europe. So because this opportunity has been available to us, I can say that the impact of the lower demand in this particular segment in India has been mitigated by Deepak's marketing team. We remain also bullish about this segment recovering, but at least for the next couple of quarters, these international markets will remain extremely supportive to Deepak's products and good pricing, which allows us to maintain the same level of netback as if we had sold to the Indian textile industry.
Got it, sir. Very helpful.
With regard to your other question, with the first question about the impact of natural gas versus coal for a month.
4 crores is the impact.
Yeah, the straight up impact in 1 month was 4 crores. This is the delta which we would have been able to gain if we had used coal instead of natural gas.
Got it, sir. This is really helpful. And if I may just squeeze in one more clarification. I think you mentioned barring the Nambisari facility, you were running all your plants at optimal utilization levels. Would it be possible to give some color on what that optimal utilization rate is? Because obviously on the phenol side, you've been able to run it north of 100% in the past. So just some color on that would also be really helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay, so on most of the other products, we have run them at, I guess, something between 90 to 100% capacity. In a couple of products, we have challenged that 100% and gone beyond that to about 108 to 110. One thing I have to say is that it is somewhat easier, not easier, it is more challenging to do in Deepak Nitrite because, you know, the product output might be a solid product. So it is not as easy to go beyond 100%. We have managed in a couple of cases, but you know, it is something where there's a good amount of work required. Nonetheless, as I mentioned, we generally you know, have targeted between 90 to 105, 108% utilization in Deepak Nitrite standalone assets.
Yeah, but to answer this, we are constantly debottlenecking. See, when Maulik says this, it means In the current state, you can't do that, but with some little debottlenecking, little capex, you can expand, and which you have been doing continuously, you know. It doesn't require same investment. So, with a marginal investment, you can have a higher capacity. So, that way, Deepak Nitrite's products and plants are multi-product, multi-facility, barring one or two.
Got it, sir. And phenol would be north of 100%. As per usual, correct?
As per usual.
Above 100%.
Yes.
Got it, sir. Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thanks so much for taking my questions. Most of my questions have been answered. Just a couple of clarifications I wanted to see. One was with regard to the advanced intermediate segment. Would it be fair to conclude that, you know, perhaps we are back to normal margins starting the March quarter, you know, after a period of consolidation in the December quarter going ahead?
No, we will expect an improvement compared to Q2 because, you know, we had a lot of tailwinds because of the Nandesari situation.
Actually, Abhijit, I would answer this. I don't know what is the normal margin, you know. Because in current situation, things are so volatile. Like Maulik was just mentioning about the, or I earlier said, textiles and these. Now, it affects a particular chain of products. So, what is the normal is very difficult to say. But we are doing better. In fact, second quarter also had this impact of fire, where we lost production and this. So, all in all, this is not a normal quarter as such. But then Q3 will have its own challenges. So, frankly, hey, nobody knows what is the normal. But we are doing, I mean, we have done, like we started sodium nitrate on 26th of or 22nd of October with full capacity. So, you will see that in the third quarter, the results and when it comes.
Okay, no, I understand. Also, you know, just to clarify the comment that was made earlier, the Deepak Nitrite standalone business is what we are targeting to double in terms of top line in the next 3 to 4 years, is it? Just to make sure I understood that correctly. And if so, if you could just elaborate on or just highlight the major drivers that we would have to do that in terms of the major, you know, growth.
Deepak Nitrite, I clarified that a lot of the investments, even for downstream or upstream, will come in the new subsidiary Deepak Chemtech, which will house not only Deepak Nitrites related products, but also Deepak Phenolics related products. For example, MIBK, MIBC. So, let's put it this way, that the business of Deepak Nitrite will certainly see significant revenue growth over a period of time as new projects get commissioned. Whether that is housed in one company or another company, as analysts and investors, you will see the value coming. Deepak Phenolics, as an entity, it is not easy to double the revenue of a commodity chemical like Deepak Phenolics overnight. And that normally will happen when there is either a significant new investment that is coming in with a new plant or with a significant downstream investment that is coming in. So that will be a different story. Deepak Nitrite and its associated products will certainly see revenue accretive to its current business over the next 3 to 4 years, in line with what you mentioned.
Okay.
But they may be housed in another subsidiary.
Yes. So MIBK, MIBC will come, in this subsidiary, Deepak Chemtech, but possibly any other derivatives of Phenolics might come within Deepak Phenolics itself. Is that correct to understand?
Abhijit, as and when it comes, we'll let you know about how it comes and where we are housing that.
Okay, sure. Now, one last thing, with regard to the Phenolics segment. Just from the market's perspective, in terms of demand that you're seeing for India, have you seen a significant slowdown in the country's volume growth rate compared to, the 10% kind of volume growth numbers we used to see earlier? Have things slowed down? And also, how are things looking at the global front, whether it be maybe in China or in, other important regions around the world? Thanks a lot.
So if you're talking, I think, Abhijit, you should not focus so much on only the last couple of months as a sample size. So if you look over the last year, last 3 years, last 5 years, you will see that there is a remarkable consistency in the growth in consumption of phenol in India. Now the last couple of months have been very volatile, also very uncertain because of geopolitical issues. And phenol as a product is something, it's like water, that it flows from the place where it is made to the place where it is consumed, internationally, domestically, whatever. But in India, because it is very closely tied to the growth in GDP, barring, some unforeseen circumstances which would relatively remain in the short term, like how you've seen in the last couple of months or quarters, the growth story is intact. So is the growth story for the downstream applications of phenol, where Deepak remains a very bullish investor. So I don't foresee a long-term slowdown, from what we have seen in the last few years. See the last couple of months, but don't base your perception about the future based on the last couple of months. Such things may happen, they may happen again, but this is India. There is always more optimism here than there is in most parts of the world, even at the worst of times.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. So question is on advanced intermediates business. So you mentioned definitely that the spillover impact was still felt in the current quarter, and we are expecting that from next quarter onwards we can expect the volume growth of this to 10%, which was not achieved in the current quarter. So this volume growth which we are expecting in the second half is primarily in a nitric business, nitrate business, or you will see that it will be the growth will be in the broad spectrum product basket of all the advanced intermediates in the basket.
In the broad spectrum of advanced intermediates, which will of course include the basic intermediates, but which will also be seen in growth and volumes in the other segments. So you will see H2 having a broader improvement in terms of volume across all the segments.
Okay. And so it is irrespective of the, you also mentioned that some of the industries are witnessing the slowdown, like textiles and all, which are also the key user industry for advanced intermediates. So this is the volume growth which we are targeting is irrespective of some industries witnessing slowdown, whether domestically or globally?
So we don't believe the slowdown is a, you know, is an endemic situation. It is here and now, and that is because of you know, certain recessionary fears that are there worldwide. Because the Indian textile industry also supports the global textile consumption industry. Nonetheless, as I mentioned earlier, while this transient effect is there, which is leading to some consumers of our products in India being relatively cautious about the visibility that they give in the long term, owing to certain geopolitical situations that we all know about that are taking place both in China and in Europe, coincidentally, this has also opened up significant avenues for supply of our products to other countries where normally we have had only a moderate exposure. Countries like Southeast Asia, like the US, etc., where we are currently able to move a lot of material compared to what we were earlier, and at you know, margins where our net back, it remains similar to what it would be if we were selling to the Indian industry without dealing with the freight and the duty impact. So today we are able to do it. This opportunity remains available to us over the next couple of quarters. But we also do anticipate that the domestic industry, at least the textile segment, will recover in you know, in a quarter or two. So for us, we you know, one channel or another channel, we remain confident about the demand, the volume demand, and the margin for Deepak standalone business.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, against the earlier guidance of about 1,500 odd crores of capex over, I believe, if I'm not wrong, 18 odd months. So if I look at the 1H numbers, it's about 140 odd crores of capex in the cash flow. It seems a bit low versus the run rate that we have probably guided. So is it, are there some delays in the capexes, or it's just the cash flow that is likely to accrue and probably bulk up in the...
Well, it is cash flow, not the delay in the project.
Okay, so
the projects are all in line. You know, a lot of these are engineering items, and in any chemical company, there's a lot of investment that takes place when you're talking about the civil structure and things like that. So those all happen at the right time. We don't front load any of the costs unless we have to.
Sure, sir. That's all, sir. Thank you so much. And all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Ranj from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just on the Nandesari plant, if you can give the, what were the blended utilization levels for the second quarter, because the plant was shut down for some part and then we were running at a lower capacity?
So exactly that. One part of the plant, I would say 30% of the volume, 35% of the volume was close to 50% of the volume was operated at 50% run rate for the duration of the quarter. And the remaining 50% of the plant was operated at close to about 80%, 90% run rate.
Okay.
Also, I will just highlight one thing, that one part of the plant was underutilized for a short period of time because it was going through hot work in order for us to expand the project that we already had announced for the agrochemical intermediate.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is on the Phenolics. So last quarter we had indicated utilization of about 129%. So just wanted to have what was in this quarter. And if you can quantify the high cost inventory, you know, one time impact for this particular quarter. Thank you.
The run rate was similar to what it was. It would have been less because of the multiple power trips that occur in the Dahej normally during the monsoon, which we were able to avert thanks to the CPP. This is, while it is also an advantage, we have to keep in mind that unfortunately right now the price of coal is also so high that we were able to run it, but and we were able to save the costs that would be accrued in terms of the stoppage and the startup and the safe startup of the plant. But coal being as expensive as it is did not yield the the material benefits to the extent where we would have wished it did. But this is for us, to protect the quality of our assets as well as to maintain supply chain.
So as regards your inventory, this thing, we have to, we import and the impact is the same month. You know, it's not carried forward from the earlier quarters, but in the same month when you are importing, the consignment comes late, and because of the volatility in prices, the prices can change in between. That's all. Beyond that, nothing. So once BPCL is normal and when we have our own stream running, then this won't be that much.
Right. And the expanded capacity to 300,000 tons debottleneck capacity, that will be available from Q1 FY24 onwards. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashish Kantotra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the presentation. One thing I wanted to ask you, and the past few
weeks. Sorry to interrupt you, Kashish. We cannot hear you. Your voice is breaking.
Yeah, question is to Maulik. So Maulik has been recently telling that Phenolic business is up this 20%
EBITDA margin. Sorry, Kashish, we cannot hear you. As there is no response, we'll move to the next question, which is from the line of Karan from NYIS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. I want to ask one thing. Like you said, that the textile sector is not, doing well in the Indian context. So by when do you see it's coming to the right path on track?
It's difficult to say because we were expecting during Diwali festival things will normalize. It has not yet normalized. So, very difficult to say.
Okay, so like at present also, you're not seeing any traction again? Like the demand coming up?
No.
Okay, sir. That's all.
Just to clarify.
Yeah.
It is not like there is no demand. It is that most of the consumers for our products that happen to be in the textile space are not able to provide a medium to long-term visibility because they are waiting to get this from their end consumers, which may be in Europe or the US or wherever. So the problem is not that they're not running their plants. It is simply that they are not confident about whether, 2 months from now, the capacity ramp up will be X or Y, or the demand will change from A to B.
Right.
So the market is there. They are consuming subdued levels, and they are also seeing how the situation develops.
Absolutely. Thanks for the answer. Thank you much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan from Prosperity Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Any update on the QAP front and any update on your polycarbonate product?
So QAP, nothing as on date. We'll just wait for the right appropriate time and moment. So no update as such on QAP. Polycarbonate, we are working on polycarbonate. It is at a pre-feasibility stage. Once we are ready with that, then we are going for the license application, and parallelly we will have to, do other things before we go for the actual launch. So first and foremost is license.
Okay, sir. So the QAP won't be used for this polycarbonate?
It depends. Of course it is for polycarbonate, but it depends. There are other capacities also in pipeline.
Okay, sir. Then the QAP will be, the timing for QAP is 1 year from the date of announcement. So how long is there valid?
So up to February, I believe.
Okay, so it is safe to say that polycarbonate will be finalized between that date?
Yeah, provided we are able to complete the pre-feasibility studies and everything.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Centrum PMS.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is... is it better?
Management is answering question, you please
continue your mind. So, if I put myself on mute, I will ask
you
question.
Ask your question, you can mute
yourself
and management is answering.
Yeah, sure. I'll just ask my question and then put myself on mute. So, my question is on Deepak Phenolics. So what is the stable margins we can expect both on the gross and the EBITDA margins?
See, again, I answered a few minutes back, there is no stable margin in the current volatile business atmosphere, right? And Deepak Phenolics is a commodity product. So it will, you know how the commodity product commodities are actually now moving in the market, so you can't say that. But normally, you can expect around 16% to 22%, that range in the phenolics business, normalized. Anything above 25-27% may not be sustainable. Anything below 16% may not be the right margin.
This is an EBITDA margin, sir.
Yeah, I am talking about EBITDA margin.
And related question to it, when we are done with the backward integration, so will there be stability in the margins as we go into more value-added products?
Yeah, of course. More and more you get into derivatives, more and more your stable margins are stabilized.
Just to clarify, the backward integration right now is in Deepak Nitrite standalone.
When we go for phenolics, yes, of course.
Yes.
So whatever you consume in MIBC, MIBK or wherever, you know, then that to that extent, yes.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Ranj from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Sir, just a follow-up question on, I think, phenolics. So, post-commissioning of MIBK and MIBC, will we still sell phenol, or I think the whole quantity will be consumed for production of these two products only? And how are margins in these products?
No, we will continue to sell in the market. We will also be consuming a good amount. In that sense, you must look at what has happened with isopropyl alcohol, IPA, where there's a good amount of consumption of acetone as well as, you know, market presence for acetone. So similarly, when it comes to MIBK, MIBC, we will retain a market presence in the upstream products as well as the downstream products. And the margins will be... I mean, right now the margins look very good. Let's see how they develop once we commission, but they will certainly be in addition to what margins we would get in the phenol acetone business.
Perfect. So basically, we will be ramping our phenol capacities over time also, correct?
Yeah, we will be balancing both.
We just said, no, we are expanding to 3 lakh tons. And this is all done with some... mind how are we going to consume our captive and how much market is requiring, and accordingly these steps are taken.
Okay.
In normal
Thank
situation,
you.
MIBK, MIBC should have about 20-22% EBITDA. This is on the base of a normal phenol which will have its own like 16-18% EBITDA.
Okay. And what capacities are we building on MIBC and MIBK?
Also, we have announced in the past, but I think MIBK is about 40 KT and MIBC is about 8 KT.
Sorry, 40 KT and?
8 KT.
Okay, perfect, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as this was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much for joining this call of Deepak Nitrite. For further clarifications, you can get in touch with our investor relations team led by Mr. Shekhar Nanda. Thank you once again.
Thank you all.
There are more than 20 parties in the conference.
On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.